King David has several psalms where he prays about broken friendships, which I think is really encouraging. What that tells us is God invites us to talk about our relationship struggles with him. He wants to hear. He is the friend who will never leave, who will always be faithful, who will never hurt your feelings, never ghost you. He is that friend.
Hey, welcome back to the A Wife Like Me podcast. I'm your host and your friend, Amanda Davison, and I'm so glad you are here. This episode is, I honestly, why do I even say that? I love every episode, but whatever. I love each of these conversations so much because they're each so good, okay? And this, I just love hearing about these women and why God, well, and some of our guests are men, but like how and why God led them to write the book that they wrote. And this one is no exception. Elizabeth Lang Thompson, she's a friend of ours. She's been here before and she's back because she has a new book, When a Friendship Falls Apart. Wait, I think like I say that and we feel the pain. The subtitle is Finding God's Path for Healing, Forgiveness, and Maybe Help Letting Go. We need this book and we need this for our other friends, our daughters, our sons. And how do we navigate friendship when it changes and it's painful and we don't even know why sometimes and we can't fix it and maybe they don't want to fix it and it's so hard. We just want all the people to like us, don't we? At least maybe that's just my problem. Anyway, this conversation is so good. So enjoy it. We sit down again with Elizabeth Lang Thompson and hear her story and how we can navigate the pain often associated with a friendship that isn't maybe in the place that we wish it would be in. So enjoy this conversation. And don't forget, if you have not received our free marriage resources, head over to awifelikeme.com to grab those. They are linked in the show notes. As always, everything we talk about is in the show notes. So just click on all the things below and check those out. We have our wife type quiz, and which is so fun because so many of you take the quiz and then you're like, this is so me. So that's over on the website as well or linked below. So enjoy those. All right, let's get into our conversation with Elizabeth. Hey, everyone. Welcome for another great conversation to another great conversation. I'm so excited. We have not a new friend with us. If you've been with A Wife Like Me, you know Elizabeth Lang Thompson already. So she's back because she has a brand new book out. And I'm pumped to talk about it, When a Friendship Falls Apart. Elizabeth, welcome back to A Wife Like Me. It's good to see you. It's good to chat with you in person.
It is. I'm so excited to be here and it's fun to see your face while we're talking. So
I know. This is so fun. This is like the best part of what I get to do. I get to meet new people, chat about all the things that the Lord is teaching you, showing you. And then like, I get to grow from all the conversations.
I love so it.
I'm like I joke, but I'm like serious that like, I'm doing this for me. Like I need all the help in all the ways. So, and then everyone else is just like along for the ride. Right. So no,
I love this, that.
It's so good. It's so good. And so, and I was just telling Elizabeth before I push record that when I saw this email come through from her publisher, like the title of the email was When a Friendship Falls Apart, which is the title of your book. And I knew the publisher and I knew, like, I saw the title. I'm like, yeah, sign us up. Yep. So the subtitle is Finding God's Path for Healing, Forgiveness, and Maybe Help Letting Go. So welcome back. Why don't you, before we get into like, all the things friendship wise, introduce yourself to us so that we know who you are.
Well, thank you for having me. I am really delighted to be here to talk about kind of a tough topic, but I have been married to my husband. It will be 25 years this next spring. I mean, I got married when I was 2, of course. So, you know, obviously. But that just feels crazy to say. I cannot believe we've been married that long. And, we, after a long season of infertility, we were finally able to have 4 beautiful children, 3 of whom are going to high school together next year. senior, junior, and freshman. So I'm like, what is this life? What happened to my three toddlers? And then I have a 10-year-old little caboose who keeps us young and keeps us watching Descendants and Disney movies, you know? The princess things still in my house, which I love. And so when I'm not, you know, wifing and momming, I do write and for women and teens. And I especially like meeting people in the emotional and messy places of faith, because that's where I tend to get stuck. I'm a big feeler. I have a lot going on inside, and my faith really helps me through the hard questions, the tough days, the complicated relationships and emotions. So this book is yet another one of those messy place, you know, conversations, but one that I'm really glad to have.
Yeah, well, let's talk about it. Why did you tell us all the things? I'm assuming I know the answer. Why don't you just tell us, why did you feel the need to write this book?
Yeah. Well, so this one actually did come to me a little bit differently than some of my other books. My publisher came to me and was like, hey, we feel there's a need, and we know you aren't afraid of the hard, messy stuff. Do you think you could write about this? And I spent a few days really pondering, thinking back on my life, my friendships, and praying about it. And I was like, you know what? I have stories. I definitely have my experiences with friendships that for various reasons have fallen apart in different ways. And I do see this as a need, and I would really love to speak into it. I had one of the stories that I tell in the book. I had to, I will say this was hard because I had to kind of dig back into my stories, and thinking about your friendships that haven't made it, it's not a fun, thing to do with your time. But I walked back through the loss of a friendship that I had. This one was crazy. It happened the day before my wedding. I was like about to get ready for my rehearsal dinner, and I had called a friend. We weren't like best friends, but we were in the same small group, and we had been friends for a few years. We were good friends. And I was just giving her some information that I had forgotten to pass on. And she just was like, you know what? You should have given this to me weeks ago. And I feel like you've been really selfish while you've been planning your wedding. You've been all about you and lost in your own life. And I feel really hurt, and I'm done. And I, you know, that feeling when like heat goes, like shoots up your face and your ears, like you're like a cartoon and your ears are on fire. Not because I just didn't know, and I didn't see this coming. I was like, I'm sure you're right. I don't like object to what you're saying. I know I have been in la la land for wedding planning. I'm so sorry. I want to make this right with you. And, obviously I can't today. My grandma's here. How do you think going on today? Yeah. And unfortunately, she just wasn't willing to work it out with me. And that was the first time I've ever experienced something that dramatic, that, you know, I just felt blindsided. I totally take responsibility for my part in it. I know that I hurt her, but it's still really sad to me that I didn't get the chance to try again and to make things right. And I felt really brokenhearted over that for a while. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot. I think you feel a lot of shame, regret, insecurity. Like, am I doing this to other people? Like, what else are people not telling me? Like, am I a jerk of a friend and I don't know? So that was one of my big ones that I unpack in the book. But really, this book comes from a place of knowing that every woman I talked to as I was writing was like, oh my goodness, I've been through that. I need this book. I need help with this. It's a lonely, lonely road to walk. And so I hope this book will be the friend that women need while you're walking through some struggles in a friendship to really keep you company and keep you pointed towards God.
Yeah, that's good. And it is. It is. And so thank you for that. Why you talk about this? And so can you explain why, like, the loss of a friendship? Because I think what can get, and maybe we just want to talk about this first. I don't know. I think that friendships can be tricky many times because when there's a change in that friendship, we often haven't been like, this is my own theory. So you can tell me if it's
I love theories. Love them.
Like, I feel like we don't really know how to, we haven't been taught or it hasn't been modeled well for us in regards to how, like, going to that friend and like sharing honestly, like, hey, what your friend did to you, for you is like a gift. Like, I'm being honest with you. I'm telling you, yeah, that kind of sucked. And like that, you kind of sucked it up because you didn't tell me this or whatever. Right. Or like that was hurtful or that feels negligent or whatever. Right.
Right.
I don't think we do that well. So then what often happens is like, hey, is something going on? Like, it feels off, but like, we may notice that, but we don't even feel safe to ask or we're afraid of what they might say or, you know, and so there is like this weirdness where you're like, I don't know that we're okay, but we aren't talking about it. And like, something's different, but I'm not sure what it is, but we're not the same friends as we used to be. I don't even know what to do with that. Like,
I don't know. Yes. Yeah. Well, it's hard. It's so difficult. And I mean, I am sort of a double whammy of, or maybe triple whammy of a bad combination in this area because I'm sensitive, big feeler. I'm a people pleaser, not in the sense of like, I need the whole world to like me, but I maybe peacemaker is kind of like, I like peace. I want everybody to be happy. I don't like drama. And so that makes me a conflict avoider. And all those three things together are a bad combination when you've got, like you said, some disconnect or dysfunction or just weirdness in a friendship. And oh my goodness, Amanda, I have had to work so hard on this in my friendships to learn how to just ask the question and just say, hey, it might just be me and my big feeling, paranoid, insecure, sensitive self, but I feel a little off. Is there anything that we need to talk about? Have I done something? I might just be making this up, but to find the courage just to ask and to air it out, I think is a huge step, but we find every excuse we can come up with. Oh, today's not a good day. Oh, she seems distracted. I don't want to ask today. And so we shove it aside. Meanwhile, in our heart, weirdness is building up, insecurity, and we're kind of backing off. And so, yeah, not learning to have those talks, not pushing ourselves to be just a little bit brave, I think does damage. And I will say the friendships where I have fought through and pushed through and learned to say, hey, I feel weird. Like, are we okay? Or I felt bad about what I said. Did it bother you? I'm feeling insecure about that. When I have done that in a friendship, it's amazing how it airs it out. And even if there's nothing there, it brings the friendship to a deeper place because you feel safer. You feel known. Your friend understands you better because they understand, oh, she's a little bit insecure sometimes. I need to watch out for that. Like, it just, oh, it makes such a difference. But when I haven't done it, that's when dysfunction has crept in.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's a good reminder. I got to stop the recording because I got to go call a friend. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But it's good. It's a good reminder because too, it's like, well, that's biblical community. Like that's actually like, well, that's what's healthy. And we often don't want to do it. Too, there's fear there, right? Like, I'm scared to hear what you might say, or I don't know how you're going to respond because we've never, like, our friendship has never had this type of convo before, or like, you know, it's new territory maybe for us. And so it's a good reminder that like real friendship, healthy friendships require honesty, right? Yeah. Like that's real love looks like sharing or asking or just like giving each other the honor of like, giving them the opportunity and us having the opportunity to share honestly with each other. Like, that's love. But we often just kind of like just tiptoe around it or whatever. Right.
Right.
Let's talk about, because something that I think we've all experienced probably is fighting for a friendship that maybe isn't a healthy one, but we still fight. Like, it's almost like we just, for whatever reason, don't want to let it go, or we don't want to say goodbye to that friendship or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
What have you learned in regards to that? And how can we assess maybe if like a friendship is one that is worth really fighting for?
That's a great question. I think situations like that, a lot of prayer is helpful. Sometimes stepping outside your immediate friend group and the people who, if you get their advice, it would be kind of detrimental. You know, like, you know how you have one friend and like, if you have an issue with them, it affects everybody. So you have to be careful, but maybe stepping outside your normal friend group to get some perspective from someone who knows you and will be honest and say, yeah, that doesn't sound good, or that sounds like you can work it out, can be helpful. You know, I think there are times when we can just kind of take a step back in a relationship and like maintain some level of friendship, but just realize, you know, maybe we don't need to be besties. Like, maybe we need to pull it back a little bit. That's a less painful way. You know, I think when we ghost people and we just cut them off and we're like, this is, you're toxic and I'm done, is hard and hurtful. Now, hey, are there times when things like that have to happen? Sure. There are times when like a heartbreak has to happen. Those are tough and require a lot of prayer. But sometimes just that gentle step back of, I'm just going to ease off the gas a little in this friendship. I'm going to start taking my like real vulnerable stuff to another place where I think I'm going to get a healthier response. That's a good thing. And that's part of, I think, us growing as people. Sometimes what happens is you keep growing in a certain area, and for whatever reason, a friend kind of stays stuck or isn't ready to move into a place where you have a new conviction. And that can be a hard, hard thing. And so the friendship does kind of ebb and flow and change a bit. It's hard to say exactly what all the signs are. And I have a whole section in the book on like, can Christians take breaks from a friendship? And how do you do that in a way that's not hurtful and damaging and that leaves the door open for forgiveness and reconciliation on the other side of a break? I have a whole section in there that really tries to help break it down. Because I do think there are times when a little space to think clearly and kind of say, okay, what's going on here? Is this good? Is it bad? Is it a little bit of both? Is it me? Is it her? What needs to change? Sometimes that is what we need.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard to know, right? You can't just like, it's not like a checklist or a formula. It's really, yeah. Yeah.
And then complicated.
Yeah, it is complicated. Yeah, it really is. So that's a bummer.
I know. I wish I could just be like, why plus B? Here is what you do. Why is it complicated?
Yeah, shucks, right? But so then there are obviously things we can learn, right, from scripture. Like, so, you know, even what's always fascinated me is Jesus and Judas. Like, Judas was super toxic and Jesus knew it and he saw it and obviously, but he wasn't like a jerk to him, obviously. And then he also didn't like give in to the toxicity, but he just like had a health, like it was like, hey, like he even called him out on it. Like he's like, you're going to betray me. So, but he didn't return his toxicity with toxicity. He didn't like, you know, so what can we learn from scripture regarding friendships?
Oh my goodness. There is so much in there. And I love that you brought up Jesus' example, because if you're feeling discouraged, like, what's wrong with me? I've lost some friendships. Well, look at Jesus. Like, all 12 of his closest friends at one point abandoned him. And, you know, Peter denied him three times. Judas outright betrayed him. Like, and Jesus did everything perfect in all of those friendships. We know he didn't sin. His tone of voice was never off. He was never rude. Like, you can do it all right and still lose a friendship. And that actually, I think, is comforting when we're like, is something wrong with me? But one of the things that really stands out to me about Jesus' example is how in that moment when Judas came and betrayed him, Jesus called him friend. Mm-hmm. He said, friend, do what you came for. And who knows what all, I'm sure there were a lot of layers to why Jesus chose that word. Like, was he trying to convict Judas? Was he trying to show him, I already forgive you and I love you. And if you want a path back to me, here it is. I know what you're doing, but I'm still calling you friend. You don't have to kill yourself like you are going to want to do in a couple of days. I don't know. Maybe all of the above, but his example of being willing to forgive is astounding. Mm-hmm. Another example that I am so grateful is in scripture is Paul and Barnabas, mm-hmm. Who they were like besties, Bible besties. Like, they were missionaries together. Barnabas was the one who brought Paul into the fellowship when everyone was scared of him because he had, you know, like a week earlier been arresting people, persecuting Christians, like he was their worst enemy. And then suddenly had this dramatic conversion. Barnabas vouched for him and was like, everybody, this guy is the real deal. Trust him. Let's bring him in. They traveled together, lived together, preached together, served, healed for years. And then in Acts 15, it says they have this disagreement over Barnabas's cousin. I call him John Mark. Sometimes I call him John, sometimes they call him Mark. So I call him John Mark. What to do with him because he had abandoned them. He had left one of their missionary journeys early. And Paul was like, hey, we can't take him with us and risk this happening again. Barnabas was like, this is my cousin. We got to give the guy a second chance. The Bible says they disagreed so sharply, and that's the NIV, that they parted ways. Wow. I'm not glad that happened to them, but I'm glad the Bible goes out of its way to include it to give us hope that you can, two righteous people can see the same issue differently and hit an impasse and sort of need to go separate ways. We don't really know what happened between Paul and Barnabas. We do catch a glimpse in one of Paul's letters where he says, hey, bring Mark to me because he's helpful to me in my ministry. So there was some level of redemption and circling back that happened, which is really encouraging. But I'm thankful that's in there. And I think the Bible is honest about friendship. And it gives us a lot of tools to help us with forgiveness, reconciliation, moving on, bringing hard feelings to God. It gives us so much that can help us when our friendships are struggling.
That's good. I love that, and also am frustrated that, you know, we oftentimes as followers of Jesus understand the concept of forgiveness, but oftentimes couple that and place that in the same boat as reconciliation, right? Mm. And so, you know, I think it's like it's really easy for us to hear the message and believe the message that we'll just forgive and move on. You know, just come on, you know, forgive and just be done with it. Forgiveness means it didn't happen. Forgiveness means, you know, you move forward as though, you know, that history never occurred, right? Or whatever. And, you know, I think that it is really important that we understand today so that we can begin to, and we talk about it a lot here, a wife like me, right? Like betrayal or any type of situation where there needs to be there is a process to reconciliation that comes totally separate from forgiveness, mm-hmm. but in friendships too, that just because we have forgiven, like that relationship might need to look different, right. going forward now. And that is up to you. Yep. You know, it isn't always safe to share with that friend why you have a boundary in place now going forward or something, right? Like, it might not be a fruitful conversation. And so, yeah, I guess I'm just thinking of the many ways that we maybe have believed certain things to be true about our walk as Christians. And perhaps it would be, I just love that you open up, you dive deep into scripture and help us see, you know, this actually is biblical. You know, yes,
you know, it happens in scripture.
Yeah. I think as women too, it's a challenge for us to really like break out of the idea that I'm supposed to, because, you know, as a follower of Jesus, it looks like, you know, this is what it looks like for me. It's supposed to look like me putting up with unhealthy friendships or, right. you know, just going back to that really dysfunctional friend or whatever, right? When it's like, oh, let's look at this, you know, and see what we can learn instead. Right. Yeah. I'd love to hear for you personally, like, what do your friendships look like? Do you have, talk about the different types of friends we can have.
Yeah.
Maybe what that looks like for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's funny. Because I really am a friend person. Like, I've written this book about friendship breakup, but I really treasure my friendships. And I love that you asked about like different types of friendships. And I think that's something I've grown in over the years, is learning to appreciate different people and the different types of friendship that we have, and not trying to force them all into that best friend, soul sister, you can read my thoughts across the room mold. I mean, that unicorn is wonderful. Like, if you can find that friendship unicorn and bring it home, how wonderful. If you find that person who gets you. And I would say I have like a handful of girls in my life who I've known for a long time, and we have that precious kind of friendship. But I have so many others who are like, we're different kind of friends. I have one really good friend locally that between the two of us, we have 9 children. And so get togethers are kind of hard. So we'll get together and we will plan what we want to talk about so we can maximize the hour and a half that we have. And we'll be like, today we're talking only about our marriage. Like, tell me all the things about you and your husband. And like, literally we will do that. And like, she'll go and then I'll go.
Yeah. I love that.
Okay, next time we're updating on all 9 children in birth order, go. And it's so fun. And we don't get together that often. But when we do, it's super meaningful, spiritual, godly, like we both leave feeling filled. I have other friends who it's like, hey, we sit by each other while our daughters play lacrosse and we just shoot the breeze. It's not all that like deep or profound. We don't necessarily share faith together, but we're buddies. And that is a valuable kind of friendship. So I have all of the flavors and styles and depths, and I treasure each one. I think each one is worth investing in and telling them how much you appreciate them, telling them what they do mean to you. I think it's wonderful. And one of the things that sort of a principle that I try to live by is that I always leave room in my heart for one more. Like, mm-hmm. there's always a space. If God brings somebody new who I'm like, ooh, there's a little spark there, I'm going to make room in my heart. No matter how busy my friend life feels and my friend card feels, that may be somebody that God wants in my life or your life. So that's a friendship rule I try to live by as well.
I love that. I love that. It's funny. Recently, my daughter, she's 14. She asked, Mom, who's your best friend? Besides Jesus and Dad, she said. And
I was like, I love that. Oh.
Yeah. Cause she knew, you know, like she, whatever. And so I was like, huh, I really had to think. And I mean, I'm like, you know, I don't know that Mom has a best friend, honey. Right. And I said, I do think that, you know, I was just like thinking through my friends and seeing, I think there's like different friends that Mom has for different, like different parts of me. They bring out like those best things in me, you know, like, that friend, like, she's so fun. And like, so I know I can text her mid dinner and be like, hey, do you want to blah, 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 blah? And she's like, yeah, you know, or she'll text that to me. And it's just like, I can count on her for bringing that out in mom or whatever. Right. And then that friend, like, ooh, if I want to go deep and like share like all the hard, messy things in my life, she's going to be like, oh, my land. Yes. You know, I'm here with you for this and whatever. Right. And yeah, I just want to encourage anyone listening or watching who wants or hasn't experienced a friend in a capacity their heart longs to have, mm-hmm. Keep trying, keep asking. You know, I think that it just takes so many people to really find the friends that like, oh yeah, that's like a friend that my heart really like needs right now, you know, or whatever. And so just keep trying, like keep putting yourself out there, keep showing up to the mom group or the, you know, try a new church. If you're not connected to a church, just try again. Sign up for a small group, like show up to serve at that thing, like, and just like be open. I love that you said, like, just have an open place in your heart for somebody new. And just invite, like, I think too, just all we assume that women have all these people in their lives already and that there isn't room for us. And of course, I think for many people, that is actually sadly true, right? Like I've totally been rejected by women who I'm like, oh, I think she already has enough friends in her life. Got it. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So like, some women might have done that to you. I get that. But like, invite them out because you don't know if they are hungry for that same, right? Like a coffee, a walk, a whatever, right? So keep trying, keep putting yourself out there. But for the woman who is experiencing loss, because again, you said the key word I think is like lonely. And for a friendship or for a woman who is experiencing the loss of a friendship, what are some practical things or some things that you see, have observed, have studied, learned that we can maybe practically do when we're walking through that loss?
Yeah. Well, first, I'm so sorry, you know, to anyone who's listening, watching, who's going through that. I'm so sorry. It really is. It's a lonely pain. I think, like I said at the beginning, I think there's like a shame that we can feel, an insecurity. Like, is there something wrong with me? Did I bring this on myself? And maybe sometimes we did. Like my situation before my wedding, like the initial problem was my fault and I own that and I feel terrible and I wish I could go back in time and you can't. One thing that I would really encourage you to do is really bring it to God in prayer. You know, be honest. King David has several Psalms where he prays about broken friendships. And I include those in the book, which I think is really encouraging. What that tells us is God invites us to talk about our relationship struggles with him. He wants to hear. He is the friend who will never leave, who will always be faithful, who will never hurt your feelings, never ghost you. He is that friend. I would also encourage you if you're struggling with, feelings of bitterness, which we all do because it's such a vulnerable place of loss, pray for the other person every day. And I know the first time I tried to do this, I was reading in Matthew. I was really struggling with bitterness in a relationship. Wasn't a close friend, but it was like family friends that had, there was a deep betrayal there. It was like shocking. And I was like, what do I do? I'm becoming bitter and I hate this feeling. I don't like this. How do I fight this? And I was reading where Jesus said, hey, you know, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And I had always looked at that scripture as just kind of like a passage we're meant to obey, as like, this is a sign of my trust in God, surrender to God, obedience. I'm just going to pray for them because it's good to do. But I started thinking, you know, what if there's more to it? Like, what if I obey this scripture and I pray for that other person? Might there be something good that happens in my heart? And I am telling you, praying for the other person, praying about the relationship, it puts a shield around your heart to protect you from that awful feeling of bitterness. It allows you to present all your feeling to God. It allows you to invite him to work change where you can't, you know, like maybe the other person won't meet with you and you really wish they would, talk to God about that. Ask him to nudge her towards reconciliation or just a conversation, a healing conversation. And that will help you not feel so out of control. And like, there's nothing I can do. My hands are tied. It will help you feel like, well, maybe I can't, but God can. I think the power of prayer will really help you as you seek to heal. And then I would also encourage you just to keep taking little baby risks in new relationships. Don't give up on friendship. You are a worthy friend who the gift of your friendship will be a tremendous blessing to the right person that God has in store for you. So don't be afraid to just, you don't have to take big risks. You don't have to sell all your junk the first time you meet a new person, but those little baby risks, and just see and let God work through those little risks. And maybe he'll bring a new and safe and delightful friend into your life in the future.
That's so good. And I think, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking the hardest part, I think, for us, for me, I'll say, in any relationship is, and we say this a lot here, but to really like wrestle and then rest in the fact that you can't have a healthy relationship with an unhealthy person. And we just can't control them. We can't control the other person. And it's like, sometimes I think we fight. I know I have like fought so hard for something that it just wasn't ever going to be, maybe. And that's painful. And to grieve, what does it look like to grieve this loss well? Yeah. And to understand, like, I can only do so much. I can't make her want to have this friendship with me. I can't make her want to reconcile or apologize or accept my apology. Or that's painful. Like, it's so painful. To learn it even as adults, you know, like helping our kids understand that. And then like, it's just so hard even for us to understand, like, I can't control them.
Yeah.
And we can't guarantee to have the result that we want. We just can't.
And I think when we finally accept that, like for me, that has been a hard lesson for me to learn. Cause I'm like, but I feel like we can work this out. Like, I feel, you know, there's my feelings again, telling me things that aren't necessarily true. I feel like we could fix this, but sometimes just being like, you know what? It's not all up to me. Relationships are two-way streets. That's a hard thing about friendship. Both people have to choose the friendship. And if I'm not for her or she's not for me, that is okay. Like, I'm for God and God is for me. Like, my security, my identity is not in this friendship. And whether or not it works out, who I am as a daughter of God is in no way diminished by whether Susie down the street still wants to meet with me for coffee. Like, I am okay. I am a precious daughter of God with gifts to offer people. I'm not perfect, but I'm here. I am loved and I am good and he is good. And so when it doesn't work out, it's okay. You know, that's not where our identity and confidence are from.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. We think we are done learning that when we're five. We're never done learning. I actually think it's harder.
Yeah. And I want to just encourage, because this just came to mind, but like for women who are living in smaller communities, I'm one of those, you know, like you had mentioned earlier, like things are so intertwined, right? Like friendship groups or whatever. And especially in a small town, it's really easy to, feel outed it's really easy to do the wrong thing. It's really easy to, you know, share something you shouldn't have with someone else. They're going to, you know, that whatever, it's going to get back to them or blah, 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 blah. I just want to encourage you, all women, to just to like really honor the Lord by honoring her, even though, and like praying for her. Yes, I think that's so beautiful. We need that reminder. and in our outward actions, like honor her. And I don't know that we, again, sometimes that requires us to really do some heart work because like we're mad, we're hurt, we're bitter, we're whatever. It's like, I don't want to be there and I don't know how to get out of this. So I'm going to go talk to a counselor or I'm going to call my friend down in whatever state who could never share anything with anyone here who I know, like I want to have integrity with this. And I want to honor her. So I'm going to choose to ask her for input and like, how I can love her well or whatever instead of someone else. I think there's so much potential for like, regardless of the situation with our friends, we have a choice in honoring her, like going forward. And so I just want to like challenge all of us to really like hold fast to that and want that regardless of what has happened. Because it's not easy to do that, but it's possible. And I want that for us. I want to really honor each other in how we walk this out.
Love that. I think Psalm 37 is really helpful with that. It's an example of David being totally maligned and mistreated by someone, but you see his struggle with like, how am I going to take the high road? How am I going to be righteous in this situation and trust that God cares about justice even more than I do? You know, I think it's hard. We want to, if somebody's slinging mud, we want to get down in the mud with them and forget where the quote came from, but it's like, never wrestle with a pig. You'll both get dirty and the pig likes it. You know, don't get down in the mud with someone. You know, take that high road, even if the other person isn't. Sometimes you do have to step in and like correct, especially in a small community, you do have to kind of like, let me set the record straight for the sake of my reputation, but doing it in such a way that is that it's respectful. You're not being spiteful. It doesn't become this, you know, thing that can get so ugly. So I love that you talked about that. Just honoring the other person, being respectful, being careful.
Well, anything else you want to share? Like, I think we could talk about this all day, but it's just, you know, again, I love it because we don't talk about it much. We don't hear about it. We don't dive into it. Anything that you want to leave us with before we close out?
I think what I would want to leave everyone with is hope that even if you are going through or have been through one or more friendship breakups, struggles, strains, and you're just feeling discouraged and hopeless, God has friends out there for you. The wonderful news is we are a crowded planet. There are 8 billion people, and somewhere out there, God has people in mind who you can encourage. They will value you. They will love what you bring to the friendship, and you will receive in return. My grandma Jane was such a great example of this. When she was about 85 years old, she went to this senior aerobics class and she was this very bubbly, outgoing person. And she just like made this group of friends in her senior aerobics class. They met every week for coffee. She would bring her little hazelnut creamer to the coffee store because she didn't want to pay the 25 cents to have it added in. And they would meet for coffee and laughs every week until my grandma passed about 8 years later when she was 93. And those ladies helped run her funeral. Like it is never too late to find your people, find your friends. Just keep taking those little risks. Don't give up on hope. Don't lock yourself down and give up. And pray about it. I know that God will hear your prayer and honor your prayer if you would like to still find some new friends in your life. So keep hoping.
Yeah, thank you. That's good. That's good. Elizabeth, would you mind praying for all the women before we close?
Of course. Father, thank you so much for the chance to talk today. Thank you for Amanda and ministry and the way it comforts, encourages, and equips so many. Thank you for every woman who is participating in this conversation with us. God, you know the individual situations that every person is going through. You know the heartache, the hurt, the insecurity, the fear, all of the feelings that every person listening may be grappling with. And we ask you to strengthen, to comfort, to give wisdom. We ask for healing wherever it's possible. We ask for forgiveness and reconciliation, but we also ask for the wisdom if it's time to move on, if it's time to let go and put a relationship to rest. We pray that you will give the women in those situations the strength and wisdom they need. And God, we all want friends. We thank you that you are our best friend, most faithful friend, that we can always rely on you, always talk to you. You're never too busy. Your calendar is never full. Your friend card is never full. And we just ask you, God, to continue to guide all of us to great people, great friends, through whom we can just, with whom we can enjoy life, share laughs, share life's burdens and challenges, and hopefully honor and glorify you. Thank you for this time. And it's in your son's precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you for talking with me. This was a great conversation.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.